This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligny Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
That's right, baby. Until 1 o'clock, we will talk a lot of Cardinals baseball today. And we are happy that you are with us on the show. You can text in 314-436-7900. You can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. You find the KMOX Sports pages on all of those accounts, and you will see the show streaming live with Bernie Miklas and me. And if you got a comment or a question, something you want to throw at Bernie, you can... you can do that right there on the comments. If you're watching the show, you want to comment on Twitter, you could do that. Facebook, YouTube, whatever. We're talking a lot of Cardinals baseball, as I mentioned. And Bernie Miklas, so last night, you know, you've got a one of those, it wasn't the most frustrating game. I think Sunday, that was one of those kick in the teeth kind of games that we've seen before. But what happened yesterday was a different kind of frustration. The fact they had multiple opportunities to push runs across the plate. The fact that pitching couldn't keep it close enough anyway. They haven't had a ton of those this year, though. You know, you watch what they've done. They've got losses. They're still a winning team. But they haven't had a ton of those games where that really frustrate you like last night did.
Yeah, that one really annoyed me, to be honest with you. I think it was I think I'm probably in the minority, Chris. I think I probably disliked that game last night than I did the loss in San Diego. Yeah, because the loss in San Diego is a classic example. You got a low scoring game. The pitching in the game is great. You get a 2-run bomb from your guy Jordan Walker. You have one of the best closers in baseball. Going to seal it up, and you know you're one strike away, and it's hard to explain. Yeah, man, it's a lightning bolt. It hurts. It stinks. But you know that's kind of a great baseball game, and you know sometimes the other side gets to your guy. You know sometimes they beat your closer. I mean, I'm kind of used to that, and it's just part of the game. But what bothered me about last night is the Cardinals had so many chances to like basically turn this into a non-game early and to take strong control of the game and maybe even run away. I mean, you get 13 hits, you got runners in scoring position all night. Libitor, at least for one inning, you know, and then he imploded. I still don't know what happened there. But this was a game that the Cardinals just methodically controlled and looked like the dominant team, except they couldn't finish. They couldn't finish those innings when they could have scored multiple runs a couple, three times. And that really bugged me more than what happened Sunday. But that's just me.
Yeah, it's the Sunday to me. And I guess you could, if you really want to, you know, get into the specifics of it. It's Sunday's more of a heartbreaker, I guess. Yeah. Yesterday, last night, that is a frustrating one. So there are differences. I mean, there are differences in the two, and I suppose I would rather. I don't know. I don't know which one of them I like because the gut punch games, those stick with you for a couple of days if you're really invested. And maybe last night will stick with you. I don't know, but I hate those games that you have and you're a strike away from the end and you let it get away. Last night is a different kind of emotion, even though both suck.
They and the thing is this. I'm going to throw this in there because we saw a really glaring problem the Cardinals have had all year. Not very good at all in terms of batting with runners in scoring position. In fact,
they're like bottom five.
Yeah, they're 202 runners in scoring position batting average in May, and they were awful last night. They could have blown this thing wide open to some really bad at bats, and it didn't happen. So they have a good offense, but. Yeah, maybe I'm greedy because I like wonder, like, gosh, think about how good this offense really would be if they were just an average team at hitting with runners in scoring position. They're nowhere near average. Like you said, they're near the bottom.
Yeah, I think there are only four teams worse than them, and one of them is the Reds. Well, I think the Reds are dead last in that category. And it's amazing, too, because they're a top 10 team in runs scored. And a lot of that, we talked about this with Matt Pauly on the Chris and Amy show. It is in large part because of the fact they have hit so many home runs this year, which is one of the good things about 2026, is that they are far better in that area than they were. Right now, they're kind of average in baseball, but you know, just a few days ago, they were one of the better teams at hitting home runs.
They got to get back on the launch pad for that. I mean, May has been dramatically different than April. And I know in May, we're only talking 11 games. But by the end of next week, it'll be 18 games. And so that's been a really big change about this lineup from the first month to the to almost 2 weeks into the second month. I mean, they've only hit 6 home runs in 11 games. That's about an average of about 0.54 home runs per game. They averaged like over they were like about 1.32 home runs per game in the first month. They were ranked 6th or 7th. Now they're near the bottom this month. I mean, so it's kind of one extreme to the other. But the power aspect of their game has really tapered off in May, but there's plenty of time to change that, obviously.
And that's the thing too, Bernie. I contradict myself a lot because I am in this mode where I'm enjoying watching them play every night and I'm getting invested in wins and losses. Yep. And then I'll say, oh, well, you know what? It doesn't matter anyway, because this season they're probably not going anywhere by the end of the year. And then I go, well, maybe that's wrong. Maybe they are competitive and maybe games in September are interesting. They could probably do that much. But then I think about the numbers where they have been pretty good as a power team all year, but lately they haven't been. And I keep thinking, well, you got to have more than Jordan Walker and JJ Weatherholt and Gorman sometimes hitting home runs. And if you don't, that power is going to drop off. And if it does for this team, that's when I think you're going to start to see the real regression, is that if they're not hitting for power, they're not going to win games this year because their bullpen isn't good enough to keep games close for 6 full months of the season if they're not getting power.
Well, that's right. And they try to manufacture runs. And for the most part, they've done a fine job with that. Although last night certainly was not one of those evenings. This obsession with bunting, we'll have to talk about that with Ollie Marmol Tuesday on the Gas House Gang. But let's just say it's not a good reflection on your number 8 and number 9 spots when you already have like a runner on third base. And you need a fly ball to get him in, basically. Yeah. And you're trying to bunt and you're not very good at it. And just squander 2 great opportunities. But apparently he would deny this, of course, but apparently Ollie has got so little faith in the 8 and 9 spots. Pajes right now, who's had a brutal month. And of course, Victor Scott, who's had a brutal year. His lack of confidence in those two spots, like he's trying to do anything, you know, and it's like, well, I hope at some point this season the Cardinals have someone hitting 8th and someone hitting 9th where, you know, can kind of dig into the batter's box. You know, you got a runner at 2nd, runner on 3rd, whatever. You know, hit a line drive single, something like that, rather than trying to bunt. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's obviously because they've been so bad with runners in scoring position. That's why he's doing it. It's got to be. And I don't know. And I don't know what the right thing to do. Maybe what you do is just keep writing it out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's just keep letting them work through it and see if they improve the RISP numbers as the season goes on. Just keep giving them opportunities to drive in runs. Don't take the bat out of their hands and see what happens. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's the right thing to do. Because of this being a learning season for a lot of players, the development, growth, all that stuff. Maybe that's what you do, Bernie. Maybe you just say, hey, I'm not going to take the bat out of your hands. If you fail with an opportunity, then that's what happens. You need to learn from it and get better in that area. But I'm not going to start laying down bunts and giving up outs here.
I'm not a big bunt guy. I haven't been for decades because I come from the Earl Weaver school. And
a couple of guys on hit a 3-run homer. Yeah.
Yeah. But as he, you know, one of his guiding principles was you only get 27 outs. They're precious. Don't waste them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never liked the Cardinals manager, frankly, to have never liked when you already have a runner in scoring position and you're giving up an out trying to move him over to third. I just don't like that. I just think that's a bad percentage play. And actually, the numbers bear me out. So I'll always go with the book of Earl Weaver on that because I think it's very wise. I don't understand wasting an out when you already got a guy, you know, in position to score, right? That's all.
And it does work for some teams. The Tampa Bay Rays have the most sack bunts this year. They've got 17 of them. So they're number one. They're followed by the White Sox, the Brewers, the A's, and then the Diamondbacks, Rockies, and Cardinals all have 9. So those teams are all tied for fifth with laying down bunts.
Right. And the Brewers, those sneaky devils, they actually get, I have to look this up, but they get bunt hits more than most teams. At least that's what I was led to believe when I was talking to someone up there about it. It's not just sack bunts. They actually get on base with bunts. And I don't, you know, here's the thing. I don't know that the Cardinals as a team are very good at bunting. You got to have skill. And I think Victor Scott's been fine, but lately he has not been as reliable. And I'm talking about a sacrifice bunt. So, you know, maybe you're at a point of diminishing return. It's a really good philosophical discussion. I mean, I don't think like the manager of the team is being dumb or whatever because he's trying to move people over. I'm just saying, I happen to think you got a guy in scoring position. Just don't waste the out. You know, just try to get him in.
I agree with you. I think there are some times late, very, very late. Yeah, maybe if you're talking extra innings and all you need is that one run. There are some examples where you might think about doing it, but I'm with you.
And Ali, especially at the bottom of the lineup, I try to look at it from the manager's eyes because that's the fair thing to do. It was all my many late night conversations with Tony La Russa after a game, 16 years of that, and Whitey Herzog before that, where they would take me through their decisions and they would offer a very thorough, very honest, very candid review of what they were thinking and why they thought it would work and why it didn't work. And I learned so much from those sessions. So I always try to give the manager, I wouldn't even call it the benefit of doubt. I just try to understand why he thought this was the way to go. And I think it's important to do that because I think it's the fair thing to do that rather than to just go on the attack. So if you're Ali Marmol, one of the reasons why, you know, he was bunting in a situation like that or before, you know, in situations like this coming up soon, you know, if you have Victor Scott up and you have a guy, you know, on third base, you know, there's two ways you can go. And this is why I didn't like the one thing. You can get cued and try to bunt and maybe get the runner in. And that turned out to be a disaster. But you also, if you can move runners over, just generally speaking, if you can move runners over with your ninth place hitter who can't get a hit, well, then it turns the lineup over. And then you got J.J. Weatherholt coming up with a couple guys at second and third. So there is a logical reason for thinking that way. Like, cause you're gaming out different scenarios of like what will happen here. Here's what the options will be. So baseball strategy stuff is a lot of fun. It's very, very interesting. And the other thing is managers, for the most part, everyone I've covered, and I've covered some Hall of Famers, they have a very good reason for deciding to do what they do. And just because it doesn't work, it doesn't make him an idiot. Sometimes you can make the right decision. The player still has to execute whatever the plan is, you know? So, but it's easy to blame the manager, no matter who that manager is.
Bernie Miklas, Chris Ronji on the Gas House Gang today. Just after 12:30, we're going to talk to Chris Carey. That is Chip Carey's son. And Chris is calling games for the Sacramento A's. And so with that series going on, in fact, just did a game with his brother this week, Stefan. So really cool business. It's a family business. And we are going to talk to Chris Carey coming up just after 12:30.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the Bagel Loan, and by Celica Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
Bernie and Ronji on 104.1 FM KMOX. We'll talk to Chris Carey, who is with NBC Sports in, he's with the A's. He's calling A's games. He is Chip Carey's kid. And so we're going to talk to him coming up just after 12:30. But Bernie and I are with you now. And it's funny because we were just talking about bunting, and Thomas is watching the show on YouTube. You can visit with us by leaving a comment on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. Find the KMOX sports page. And Thomas is talking about what we just talked about, why Pages was bunting with first and third and one out.
Thomas, I'm with you, man. Absolutely with you. But by that time, when I was watching the game, Mrs. Bernie had already gone upstairs, you know, to go to bed a little early. And so I was stuck with two cats. And I love the two cats that were down there watching the game, hanging out. But I kind of chased them off because I was like hollering at the TV set. And they thought like, the maniac. There he goes. Let's get out of here. So
you're doing everybody else was doing properly.
That was a preposterous moment in the ball game and one of the more preposterous moments of the season. And listen, maybe I'm bitter because I've been talking up Pedro Pages' offense because it was very good in April and it was very good late last season. So I make a big fuss about that. And he has like one hit since I started talking him up. Thanks for making me look bad, Pedro. No, I'm just kidding. That's the way these things go. He is in a bad, bad way right now. And I still don't know whether, and I neglected to do my reading this morning, which is my bad, but I still don't know whether something he did on his own or there was a mix up in signals. I have no idea. I was so fed up with it. I'm like, well, who cares? It's just stupid the way it played out.
You know, I suppose it's possible. I've heard hitting coaches talk about this before, and I don't know if it's nonsense or not. And Ollie would be the guy to ask about this, because what I have heard before is that when you are struggling offensively, sometimes getting down a bunt at least kind of helps reset you a little bit. You know, you've accomplished something positive. So maybe there's a psychological benefit to it. I don't know if that's overthinking it. I have heard that before, though.
Yeah, me too. And another one, at least especially for a right-handed hitter, I don't think it's as much for a left-handed hitter. But this would apply to Thomas Sagesi. This would apply to Pages. You know, fellas, not every swing, you know, should be the peak form John Daly driving off the tee, you know?
Right.
Like sometimes you can, you know, take a nice, easy swing, chip the ball to right field. No one's playing you over there. Get an easy single. I look at Sagesi, who's 0 for his last 28. First of all, I wonder, what is he doing up here? He needs to play every day. He's a young guy. It just makes no sense having him up here. But every swing Sagesi takes, it's just like he's trying to hit it like 450 feet down the line to left, you know? Mr. Sagesi, I love you, kid. It's okay to go the opposite field. Take yourself an easy single. That's how you sort of get your bearings back, I think, along with what you said, too. There are a couple different ways to do it.
Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji on the Gas House Gang, and we are going to talk to A's broadcaster Chris Carey. That is Chip Carey's son, and we will do that when we come back in just a moment on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Salinka Heating and Cooling, and by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Facing a 1-2 count, and here comes the pitch, and it swung on and missed. He struck him out, and this ball game has come to an end. The Cardinals had 13 hits in this game, but they couldn't get the knockout blow in several innings throughout the game. They couldn't find a way to push runs across. The A's did with a 4-run fifth inning against Matthew Liberatore, who picked up the loss here tonight, and they do indeed even the series at one apiece.
The finale is this afternoon of that series. 110 is the pregame show on KMOX. We're getting very close to that. And then a 205 first pitch. You can hear it on 104.1 FM or the free Odyssey app if you are in the St. Louis area. It is time to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line today on the Gas House Gang. I've got Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji here. We are now joined by A's broadcaster for NBC Sports. Chris Carey is on the show with us. And if his last name sounds familiar, that's because his dad is Chip Carey, who is the TV broadcaster here in St. Louis, as you know. Chris, how's it going? Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good to be here. Good to hear from you guys, and always a pleasure to get on.
We'll start things off. You just did a game with your brother, Stefan, and that had been, what, the second time the two of you had called a professional game together?
Well, no, the second time we had ever called a major league game together.
Major league
game. We did hundreds of minor league games together over the course of 2 years in Amarillo, but yeah, 2 days ago was the first ever major league game for my brother and me, first identical twins to do so. A very special moment for my family and my brother, who you know, has worked really hard to get up here. And the A's and our owner, John Fisher, saw a really cool opportunity for, especially with the Cardinals, to come into town to put us two together. And I think it's gone pretty well so far.
Chris, Bernie Miklas here, man. Really good to make your acquaintance. I've talked to your brother a few times, and certainly your dad. It's good to talk to you, and wish you the very best in your career. I want to ask you about that. I go back a long way, but I do remember a very, very, very young Chip Carey being in the booth with his grandfather at Wrigley Field, and I thought it was the coolest thing. And they had such a great time together, and what an experience. And I know your dad treasures it. But here's my question to you, not to put you on the spot. Would it be a dream of yours to just have the twin brothers in the same team broadcast booth doing the games, working together for about 150 games a year or so?
You know, that's a great question, Bernie. And I think it's a question I think more and more people will ask after they hear these three games. But right now, my focus is on working with Dallas Braden and doing the best job that I can with the Athletics. My brother is immensely talented, and we ping pong off of each other in a different, unique way that I think that people have resonated with through these first two games. It is a difficult challenge when you have an analyst to the level of Dallas Braden, who is able to not only break down the baseball game, but explain the baseball game, and then sometimes even do some play-by-play even when he doesn't realize it. So for the three of us to work together as almost smoothly as we have is a true testament to our director, our producer, Stefan coming in here prepared and knowing how we do our telecast. But I think, you know, I would be lying if I didn't say that working with my brother would be a dream. I think it's incredibly exciting and marketable and fun. And who knows, you know, maybe down the road for a team, you know, hopefully maybe the A's or the Cardinals, maybe we'll get this opportunity to do it again. But if that were to happen, I would definitely not say no to that, Bernie.
We talked to your dad on the show yesterday and, you know, mentioned the fact that he is in a line of great broadcasters. And now his sons are doing this for MLB. Everybody knows Harry Carey, the most famous of them all, Skip, and now Chip, and you and Stefan. And so I said to him that your kids are now under a serious amount of pressure. Once you finally have kids, like, they have to become MLB broadcasters. You know that, right?
You know, he never put that pressure on us. I think Harry put a lot of pressure on Skip, and Skip didn't do so with my dad. Their relationship grew actually into young adulthood as my dad lived in St. Louis and Skip was in Atlanta. And my dad never forced it on us. And when I have children, God willing, I will want them to do whatever they want to do. The pressure is a fun part of the job. It's something that I think that, you know, you guys can understand as well on the radio in a big baseball passionate market like St. Louis, where radio is still king at KMOX. You know, the pressure to perform is there. And, you know, when the A's took a chance on me 3 years ago, I was more worried about the pressure then than I was now. And for my brother, you know, working and doing a little bit with St. Louis, where there is a high level of expectation for their broadcasters, for him to come in and be received as well as he was during spring training with the Cardinals and the 6 to 8 games that he's going to do this year with St. Louis, I think allowed a little bit of confidence for him to come in, settle in the booth with a familiar face and his brother. to be able to just go show his stuff, and he's still got one more game left to go. So it's not as much about pressure for us guys. I think it's more about just making sure that we're authentically ourselves and it's not a gimmick. I think that a lot of people will look at it and be like, it's a gimmick, it's supposed to be. But we haven't been like, you know, brother bear. It's been all business. It's been talk about baseball, ping pong off of each other, utilize Dallas's talent. And I think we have achieved that through the first two games, though there is still some work to do in game three, and hopefully we check those final boxes.
You know, that was a really interesting answer, and it actually sets up what I wanted to ask you, so thank you. And this is kind of a fun question and a serious question at the same time. Take us inside the, the carry home when all of you were there. Maybe it's the holidays or whatever. From a baseball standpoint, what is the generational gap like between your dad and you and your brother? Do you speak the same language when it comes to baseball? Are you two more into the analytics and the metrics? The generational gap is always a wonderful thing in a family or just among friends. How do you guys handle that? Is there much of a gap or is it a pretty big gap? And there's no wrong answer here. I mean, I'm just fascinated by it.
I think it's narrower than you think. I think a lot of young guys are really obsessed with the ex-WOBA and those types of things. To be quite frank with you, Bernie, I don't really understand half of it. That's what Dallas is for, to help me understand what it is. But I'll tell you, I'm like my dad in a sense, like where I saw last night, Michael Stefanik in his first at-bat with the A's. There was a runner on first. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Hernandez, and he executes a perfect hit and run. You just don't see that anymore. The Cardinals have done that, just shooting the right side, hitting for contact, getting on base. You know, you're starting to see some guys in this league. Unfortunately, Cardinals fans haven't gotten to see Jacob Wilson this year, that are contact-oriented players that are going to hit for well above average and shoot for a batting title. Another guy that comes to mind, Chandler Simpson. I think J.J. Weatherholt has shades of that in his future, settling into the big league. So I prefer those guys, like a Carlos Cortez type, who was a minor leaguer for 6 years in the Mets system, never got a chance, and now he's hitting 350-something for us and playing every day because he's earned that opportunity. It's not going to give you 30 home runs in a season, but he may give you, seven hits, eight hits, nine hits a week. And I think that's really, really a special thing to look at and to be proud of. So, yeah, I think we're more old souls in how the game is played. And I think just like rock and roll, classic rock, now there will always be a place for rock and roll in music. There will always be a place in the traditional ways of playing the game of baseball in this sport. And I hope that trend continues because I think it's delivered a very entertaining product across the league.
A's broadcaster Chris Carey with us on the Gas House Gang. And there is a question from a listener, rather a viewer on YouTube, wants to know if baseball is, in fact, your favorite sport. We've seen broadcasters throughout history call not just baseball, but, Jack Buck called football. He did some hockey at one point. So we've seen there be lots of crossover. Is this your first love?
Yeah, it is. Baseball is. I'm to be completely frank with you guys, I'm a one trick pony. I don't really know how to do anything else, and I don't want to sound all pretentious, but I think that there's a standard of excellence that you have once you get up to the major leagues. If I was to go out to do basketball or football at this point in my career, I would sound completely different and not confident, and I don't think the product would be as good. And there are hundreds and hundreds of talented announcers that are more qualified for those sports than I. My brother has an interest in doing a number of different sports. He was a college lacrosse player. Actually, tonight, it's funny you asked that. I am guest commentating a wrestling match after this game. TNA, Total Nonstop Action, one of the big-time promotions in this country on the AMC network, are having me out in Sacramento, and I'm going to call a match the Sactown Street Fight. So I do like professional wrestling a little bit. I like soccer, but it really is. Baseball is my one and only true love in terms of sports. I don't really watch anything else. I think it's kind of funny because Dallas Braden and I align on that. He'll go home and he'll watch a bunch of different baseball games and break it down. It's a beauty for me.
Dallas Braden's a lot of fun, by the way. I really enjoy him. All right, Chris, I'm going to ask you a sentimental kind of mushy question. I'm setting you up so Cardinals fans will say, I really like this guy. See, I'm putting one on a tee for
you. Oh, I better not blow it now.
No, but all kidding aside, I really mean this. You know, I've known your dad for a very long time. And we'd come in here with the Braves or whatever, you know, we'd always find a way to talk about, to sit down and talk in the press box or something. And he would talk about what St. Louis meant to him and having St. Louis such a huge part of the family heritage and with such wonderful memories. And of course, he grew up here, but it was always in his heart. It never left his heart. And I just wondered, like, you and your brother, as you were growing up, was St. Louis something that, although you guys never really had a St. Louis experience per se, but were you not only familiar with the deep family history, but also just what it meant and the legacy of that and how powerful it still is to today?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were constantly reminded, you know, he just takes a little bit longer of a glance. We would come up to some Braves games and they would honestly conveniently be playing the Cardinals, and you just know. And I would talk to him and it, over the years, and he would always say to me, you know, if there was ever an opportunity to go there, that's the one place I would leave here for. And you know, the stars aligned for him. His heart has always been in St. Louis, and it will always be in St. Louis. And for us to experience that and to understand the caliber of baseball fans, the most passionate fans in baseball, in my opinion, in St. Louis, and for them to welcome him the way that they have, and for him to ingrain himself in the culture that men like you, Bernie, have covered for many, many years so successfully, has been nothing short of remarkable. And Stefan and I do not take it lightly when we get the opportunity to go to St. Louis. Stefan will not take it lightly when he gets the chance to call games for the St. Louis Cardinals, because, you know, they're right up there with the Dodgers and the Yankees and the other team in the NL Central that I won't mention in terms of pedigree. And this town is immensely special. They are the kindest people in the country. They will take their shirt off their back if you need it. They will welcome you with open arms, but they do have a standard and expectation. And if you meet that expectation, then everything is great. But one thing I love about Cardinals fans, and one thing that I've seen in this series, is the Cardinals and the A's don't really have a reason to hate each other. They're actually very similar teams. And I've talked to quite a few Cardinal fans. It's just how complimentary they are of our players. It's not anything malicious. It is, oh, I love how Nick Kurtz hits the ball the other way. Or Jacob Wilson, what an old-timey player. And just the appreciation for baseball, I think, is what makes St. Louis so special, because there's just class there. And to be able to see that play out at our yard here in Sacramento and people make the trip has been very, very special for me. And I know Stefan and my father have gotten to experience it in a lot larger way. But this is St. Louis at its purest, and they've brought all of their class here out west to Sacramento.
Last thing I have for you, you mentioned Sacramento, where A's games are being played right now. Obviously, today will happen again. What has that experience been like to have a major league season happening at a minor league ballpark?
Good question. It's been unique. I think for other broadcasters, I'm not far enough removed from the minor leagues to really notice the difference. You know, the Coliseum obviously is special in its final year. Melancholy for a lot, bittersweet because, you know, they're great, passionate fans, and now the team's moving, and now we're in Sacramento. But it's been really cool to have two different stops before our eventual stop in Las Vegas. And, you know, it hasn't really been too different for me. It's still the same way of life. Sacramento is a great eating town, which I'm big on, as you can see on the camera. It's the farm-to-fork capital of the world, and the fans here are passionate, and they're hoping to get a baseball team, you know, Major League Baseball team, if Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball decides for expansion. They've been fun. They've sold out most every game this year, and the A's have really had no problems with it whatsoever. Our vantage point is great. Our team is great. Our production team, everything has been really wonderful. And though it is kind of a stopgap, we're treating this as if we're going to be here for a long time, just because of the fact that's what these Sacramento fans deserve. They deserve us to play where our feet are and broadcast where our feet are. And I think that we're trying to deliver a winning product night in and night out.
I wanted to ask you this. I look at the Cardinals, and when I look at the Cardinals and their roster and the youngest team in the majors, I look at that A's team, and I look at the way that this has been done. Yeah, some really bad years were necessary, but they have such a tremendous influx of young talent. It's really exciting talent. Do you see Do you see the A's as kind of an example of what the Cardinals can be in terms, like, these two teams, these two franchises, just retooling and building up to something that could be very special?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the word that comes to mind for me is culture. You see a similar culture with the Cardinals and the A's, right? You've got guys that may have had 3 or 4 years that are kind of your vets at this point, an extremely young team, a lot of rookies coming up, a lot of guys getting opportunities, figuring out and winning games and in exciting fashion as well. And guys that may be extension candidates, because you don't want to let some of these guys go see free agency. That's what John Fisher and David Forrest and Mark Kotze did by locking up the likes of Butler, Rooker, Wilson, Soderstrom. And the reason I use the word culture is because, you know, some of those deals were very team-friendly deals for the A's, and that's because of the culture. These guys love playing here. They love representing the green and gold. They want to see it through in Sacramento. They want to see it through in Vegas. And I think in St. Louis, which is, you know, by many accounts, baseball heaven, I've seen it firsthand, I don't think they'll have any problem whatsoever getting a lot of these players to sign long-term extensions if that is what they are going to do. Ollie Marmol has done a great job. I know that, you know, he's had some critics in the past, but this year, working with a team that was expected to possibly finish last in the division, now is competing at a high level, and the expectation has changed completely. I think he's developing a culture of winning and a culture of success and a culture of bonding with these guys that I can see play out on the field much, very similarly to how it's played out for the A's.
Chris Carey, broadcaster for the A's, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and your career. It's off to a great start. And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Bernie Nicholas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the bagel loan, and by Celica Heating and Cooling, a Daikin comfort dealer.
Well, just to back you up here, Bernie Nicholas, there is a texter to 314-436-7900 who says we should stop worrying about bunting altogether. And their feeling is, I think bunting should be banned altogether. What do you think about that?
I wouldn't ban it. There's so much going on with baseball right now, though. Yeah, I don't think I'd ban it, but I'm not going to criticize anybody who wants to ban it, though.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
I know.
All right, enjoyed it as always. We will do it again next week, Tuesday, with us. Oliver Marmol joins the show at noon, so you'll be there, Tom Ackerman and me. You'll also be tomorrow at Redbird Rush Hour at 5. We'll be listening in, Bernie Nicholas.
Ron, always a lot of fun working with you.
I got
Thank
this,
you, buddy.
Hey, I got this hat that I picked up for you at Rally House. When am I going to give it to you?
I got to get my big tail down there at some point.
You let me know. So it'll be ready for
we'll,
you.
We'll make a big spectacle out of it. Big hat ceremony.
It's great.
Hey, you like this one?
Love it.
You like your hats?
I
Kansas
do.
City Royals.
It's good. I like.
I mean,
that.
Kansas City
Monarchs
A's
or A's? A's. That's always
the
green.
A's, yeah, just because. Well, just because the Cardinals are playing the A's. I always like that KC A's hat.
Beautiful. Back
from the late 60s. Yeah.
See you next week, Bernie.
See you, bud.
Bernie Nicholas, Chris Ronji, Gas House Gang on KMOX.